Welcome. Today we're taking a really close look at diagnostic quality, specifically some frankly stunning results from the recent NordicQC C17 external quality assessment.
That's right. And this one focused on a really important new predictive biomarker, Claudin 18.2.
And when you say stunning results, what are we talking about? Because the headline number is, well, it's quite something.
It really is. I mean, you almost have to pick your jaw up off the floor. The overall pass rate for this first ever assessment of Claudin 18.2 came in at 87%.
87%. That number just flies in the face of pretty much all the history we have for launching new predictive tests, doesn't it?
Completely. Usually, you know, when a new biomarker like this goes from the clinical trial setting into, well, everyday labs, the initial failure rate, it's often huge.
Yeah. Historically, we've seen initial EQA runs struggling somewhere around, what, 50% pass rate? Maybe even lower sometimes.
Exactly. Around 50% is typical. So think about that. Half the labs trying to run the test are getting it wrong, fundamentally wrong, until things stabilize. It takes time.
So seeing 87% consistency right out of the gate, that's just, well, unprecedented, really.
It is. And that's what we need to unpack today. What happened here? What was the driving factor behind this immediate widespread consistency?
Right. And what does it tell us, you know, about ensuring reliable testing moving forward? Because if this success can be replicated, well, that changes the game.
Absolutely. But before we dive into the how it happened, maybe we should just reinforce the why. Why is accuracy for Claudin 18.2 testing so incredibly critical?
Good point. Because this isn't just an academic exercise. This test result is effectively the gatekeeper for treating certain patients.
Yes, Claudin 18.2 is the key test for patients who have advanced gastric cancer or cancer of the gastroesophageal junction.
And the stakes, they just couldn't be higher, could they? A positive result, and that's defined quite specifically, moderate to strong staining. That's what identifies patients eligible for the targeted therapy, zolbetuximab chelas-B.
Also known as VLOI. And for many of these patients, this is often the best, maybe even the only, treatment option available.
So the entire treatment pathway, potentially life-extending therapy, it hinges on this one single immunohistochemistry result.
Precisely. And if that result is a false negative, the patient doesn't get the therapy they need. A false positive, they could face risks from a treatment that won't help them.
Either way, a wrong result is just catastrophic for the patient.
Which brings us back to that historical baseline. You mentioned ATR2 testing earlier.
Yeah, the early days.
Right. In those initial EQA runs, pass rates were sometimes only 50%, basically a coin flip determining quality. Doctors and patients making huge decisions based on shaky data.
And that struggle, it largely came down to labs having to create their own methods, didn't it? These laboratory-developed tests, LDTs, often without solid, widely shared validation.
Exactly. It took years, literally years, of quality checks, validation studies, iterative improvements to get those early markers like HER2 up to a reliable standard.
But here, with Claudin 18.2, we seem to have just leaped right over that painful struggle phase, straight to 87% reliability.
And the data from this NordicQC run points to one crystal clear reason why.
Which is?
Immediate, rapid standardization, driven by the wide availability and, critically, the rapid adoption of the official companion diagnostic kit, the CDX assay.
Let's get into those numbers because they really tell the story. How many labs actually use this standardized kit?
A huge majority. 76%. So more than three quarters of all the labs participating used either the official FDA-approved Claudin 18.2 CDX assay from Ventana Roche or an identical ready-to-use version of it.
76%. Okay. And how did those labs perform?
This is the really stunning part. Both the official CDX kit and that identical ready-to-use version, they achieved a perfect 100% pass rate.
100%.
100%. Every single lab that used the commercial kit according to the instructions passed the assessment. Perfect score right away.
Wow. That's the statistical proof right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Standardization works.
Undeniably. And when we talk about why this commercial kit is so effective, it comes down to the specific antibody clone it uses.
Right. The 4314A clone. Why is that specific clone so important?
Because that's the exact antibody clone, the precise tool that was used throughout all the crucial clinical trials, the trials that actually proved the drug, zolbetuximab CLB, works.
Ah, okay. So it directly links the test performed in the lab back to the results that got the drug approved.
Exactly. It's the validated recipe. By using that standardized kit, labs essentially bypass all those tricky variables you get with LDTs. Things like, you know, choosing the right antibody concentration, figuring out incubation times.
All that fiddly stuff that introduces errors.
Right. The protocol is fixed. It's optimized. It's already been validated against the actual clinical outcome data from the trials. It shifts the challenge from developing the test to just running it correctly.
So that standardization using the trial-validated commercial assay, that's clearly what pulled the overall pass rate way up to that fantastic 87%.
It was definitely the main engine, no question. But that's only part of the picture, isn't it?
Because there's the other group, the remaining 24% of labs.
Exactly. The labs that didn't use the CDX kit, the LDT group, these labs were using, you know, concentrated antibodies, developing their own homebrew protocols, doing it the old way, essentially.
And what happened when you look just at their performance?
Well, that's when the historical reality just snaps right back into focus. Their pass rate, it plummeted down to only 46%.
46%. So worse than that old 50% baseline we talked about.
Slightly worse, yeah. And that 46% figure, or rather the 54% failure rate, it confirms that all those technical challenges with new narcers, they haven't magically disappeared.
They were just masked in the overall average by the huge success of the standardized kit users.
Precisely. For the lab still relying on LDTs for Claudin 18.2, it's clearly still a major technical hurdle.
Okay, but that raises a really practical question then. If the CDX kit performs perfectly, why would an organization like Nordic QC even publish an optimized LDT protocol? Isn't that almost encouraging the use of methods that fail more than half the time? Seems risky.
It's a necessary tension, really. The reason LDTs still exist and why labs use them often comes down to practical necessity. A big one is platform access.
Meaning
you can't run the Ventana CDX kit if your lab doesn't have a Ventana staining system. And estimates suggest maybe half of all labs worldwide don't have that specific system.
I see. So they need some way to offer the test, even if it's not the gold standard kit.
Exactly. So while standardization is the ideal, you have to provide a pathway for labs that need to start testing now, but happen to be using a different platform, like the Deco Omnis system, for example.
Okay. So the CDX kit is like, I don't know, high-tech espresso machine, pre-programmed, perfect shot every time. The LDT group is maybe more like doing manual pour-over coffee, right? Yeah. Constantly tweaking the grind, the temperature, the timing. Much harder to get it consistently right.
That's actually a pretty good analogy. Yeah. So recognizing that reality, Nordic QC did proactively develop and publish their own optimized LDT protocol for Claudin 18.2, specifically for the Deco Omnis platform. You can find it on their website, www.nordicqc.org.
But, and this sounds like a crucial, but it's just a starting point.
Absolutely. Critical point. It's an inspiration protocol. If you're a lab using it, you must validate it thoroughly in-house using your own systems and reagents before you ever use it for patient testing.
And validation for something like Claudin 18.2 must be pretty demanding.
It has to be rigorous. Ideally, you need access to reference tissue samples that have already been confirmed as positive or negative using the gold standard CDX assay. You have to prove your pour-over method can actually match the quality of that espresso machine.
Makes sense. Now, within that LDT group, the ones struggling with that 46% pass rate, was there any difference within the group? Did anything make an LDT perform better or worse?
Yes, there was an interesting finding there, too. Even among those labs using homebrew methods, the ones who specifically chose to use the correct antibody clone that validated 4314A clone, they tended to perform better than labs using completely different unvalidated antibody clones.
So even if the rest of the protocol was variable, starting with the right core ingredient, the right antibody still helped.
It definitely seemed to. It really hammers home just how fundamental that antibody choice is.
Okay, so given that almost half the LDTs failed, we should probably look at the assessment itself. How did Nordic QC make sure this EQA run was a fair but also challenging test? A real stress test for assay precision.
Oh, it was definitely designed to be rigorous. It wasn't just about checking if labs could produce any stain. Mm-hmm. It was focused very intently on that critical clinical cutoff point.
Remind us what that cutoff is again.
Right. The threshold for a positive result is 75% or more of the tumor cells showing positivity. And crucially, that positivity must be moderate to strong staining intensity that's scored as 2+ or 3+, and it has to be clear, distinct membrane staining.
Not just faint background blush. You need strong signals on the cell borders in most of the tumor.
Exactly. You need 75% of those cells really screaming positive at that 2+ or 3+ level.
So the test materials, the tissue microarray or TMA, presumably that had to be designed to specifically challenge labs right around that 75% mark.
Precisely. The TMA they constructed included 6 different gastric cancer cores. These were carefully selected to cover the full range of expression. Some were clearly positive, way above 75%. Some were clearly negative. But critically, they included cases that were right around that 75% borderline.
The tricky ones.
The tricky ones. Yeah. If your assay sensitivity is a bit off, or if your interpretation of that 2+, 3+ intensity isn't quite right, those are the cases you'll likely get wrong. It tests the decision point.
And what about tissue variability? We know tissue itself can be heterogeneous. How did they make sure they were comparing labs fairly and not just variations in the tissue sections?
That's a really vital point for fair assessment. Nordic UC has a sophisticated way of handling this. As they cut sections from the TMA block to send out to labs, they stain a reference slide themselves using a known good protocol every 25th section.
Okay.
So when your lab's stained slide comes back for assessment, it's compared directly against a reference slide that was cut literally right next to your piece of tissue in the block.
Ah, so it cancels out any significant variation in the tissue itself between your slide and the reference slide. Any difference seen is almost certainly down to your lab's staining process or interpretation.
Exactly. It isolates the lab's performance. And the assessment wasn't just looking at the stained slide, right? It covered the whole process.
Correct. It looked at the entire analytical workflow, including the lab submitting its protocol details and, crucially, the lab's own final interpretation score. Did they call the case positive or negative based on that 75% rule? Very thorough.
Okay, so it was a robust test. Now, let's go back to the failures, particularly in that LDT group. When Nordic QC analyzed why those results were insufficient, that 46% pass rate was their one dominant technical problem. Yes, overwhelmingly. About 70%, nearly 3/4 of all the insufficient results among the LDT users, stemmed from one single critical issue. Insufficient sensitivity.
Meaning the stain just wasn't strong enough? The signal was too weak?
Exactly. The staining intensity was too low. And this is incredibly dangerous clinically.
Why specifically?
Because if the staining is too weak, the pathologist assessing the slide simply cannot clearly visualize that required 2+ or 3+ intensity. They might see some stain, but not confidently score it as strongly positive.
Which leads directly to interpretation errors.
And creates a very high risk of a false negative result. Which, as we said, means the patient is wrongly denied a potentially effective therapy. So that technical flaw, weak staining, directly drives a potential clinical catastrophe.
That's a crucial link. Now, shifting slightly to a very practical point for labs running this test day to day, quality control. Nordic QC flagged a potential issue with a commonly recommended internal control tissue.
Yes, this is a really important practical warning. The tissue often recommended as a low-expressing positive control for claudin 18.2 is intestinal metaplasia.
Okay, and the problem?
The assessment found that the staining for claudin 18.2 in intestinal metaplasia showed considerable heterogeneity and variability from sample to sample.
Yeah.
And even within the same sample, it wasn't consistent.
Right. And if your internal control tissue isn't reliably consistent day to day, how can you possibly use it to accurately calibrate your test run or check if your staining is optimal?
You really can't, reliably. Your run might look okay one day simply because the control tissue happened to be expressing more strongly that day, not because your staining was actually better. It makes daily QC checks unreliable.
So we need better, more stable controls for claudin 18.2. Did Nordic QC suggest any alternatives?
They mentioned a few possibilities that need further investigation. One interesting one is using normal lung tissue. Lung tissue expresses claudin 18.1, and conveniently, the 4314A antibody clone used for claudin 18.2 also cross-reacts with claudin 18.1.
Okay, so lung could potentially serve as a consistent positive control.
Potentially. Other options mentioned were more advanced, stable materials like engineered cell lines with defined expression levels, quantitative calibrators, or maybe even microbead-based materials coated with the target protein. Things that offer more consistency than variable human tissue.
Fascinating. Okay, this has been incredibly clear. If we try to distill this whole EQA rundown for everyone listening, what are the two absolute main takeaways, the crystal clear lessons?
I think there are two really stark messages. First, standardization delivers. It provides statistically significant, really exceptional reliability. That perfect 100% score for the CDS kit used by most labs is just undeniable proof.
Standardization works. Lesson one. What's lesson two?
Lesson two is aimed squarely at that group needing to use LDTs. For claudin 18.2, LDTs demand extreme vigilance. Meticulous validation against the gold standard, constant calibration, and critically, a primary focus on achieving sufficient sensitivity to avoid those dangerous false negatives.
Got it. Standardize if possible, if not, be incredibly careful, especially about sensitivity.
That's the essence. So maybe let's just think about the bigger picture for a second. This result, this 87% pass rate on a first EQA run, it's such a huge and frankly welcome contrast to that old 50% expectation we started with.
It really is. So does this incredible success story for Claudin 18.2, which was so clearly driven by that early widespread CDX adoption, does it sort of reset our expectations for future predictive marker launches?
I think it has to, doesn't it? Will the pathology community, regulators, clinicians, will they ever really accept that painful years-long struggle phase again? Now that we've seen it can be different.
It really shows that initial period of high risk where labs spend ages tweaking unstable LDTs.
Yeah.
Maybe it can be largely spipped.
If, and it's a big if, but if robust trial-validated tools like the CDX kit are available early and crucially adopted rapidly by labs, it proves diagnostics can keep pace with therapeutics right from the start.
Which leaves a really interesting question for you, the listener, to think about. Will this become the new standard, the expected model? Could rapid CDX adoption effectively shorten or even eliminate that dangerous gap between a new drug approval and patients getting truly reliable testing for it?
That's definitely the hope, and I think the promise that comes out of this Claudin 18.2 data.
A really positive outlook.
And just quickly, if you do want to read the full report, see the specific scoring details, the images, all of that, it's available on the NordicQC website. That's www.nordicqc.org.
Excellent. Well, thank you for walking us through this Claudin 18.2 assessment. It really is encouraging to see such high quality achieved so quickly when standardization and rigorous quality assurance come together like this.
Agreed. Hopefully this analysis is useful for everyone involved in this critical testing.
Indeed. We hope this discussion supports your crucial work. Thanks very much for tuning in.